So what does Ben Franklin have to do with being more cultured and curious, you ask? Because his life was a beacon of inspiration. As a founding father of the United States, his contributions in shaping the nation were huge, people. He drafted part of the Declaration of Independence. But beyond politics, his bulbous brain and multitude of talents in science and literature and innovation make him a timeless figure worth studying. His curiosity, wisdom, and commitment to self-improvement make him the fucking poster child of this podcast, people. By understanding Franklin's life, we gain insight into the values of perseverance and civic duty, which I would argue are more important today than staring at our phones. So imagine this. It's December 1776, and Ben Franklin, who's already become world famous for his electrical experiments, embarks on a secret mission to France. He's 70, man, and he has zero diplomatic training. And he was charged with convincing France's monarchy to underwrite America's experiment in democracy? Why would they even want to help us? With only his charisma to draw from, he's got to basically engineer a Franco-American alliance, yeah, no biggie, as the fate of American independence hangs in the balance.
And 255 years later, pop culture is still fascinated with his story. And maybe one of the most unique adaptations was just released on Apple TV not long ago. It's called Franklin, the 8-part miniseries, and it has Academy Award winner Michael Douglas, who takes us on a ride through the world of Benjamin Franklin, who was widely admired as the first U.S. ambassador to France and the major American figure in the development of positive Franco-American relations.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Sorta Sophisticated, a podcast rooted in becoming more cultured and curious, where we endeavor to suspend judgment, expand our worldview, and learn to appreciate varying perspectives and values.
But really, it's a show where we hope to enlighten anyone who cares on topics that might make them more interesting and well-versed human, and just dangerous enough to hold their own in this sophisticated world. Sort of.
Join us as we delve into the fascinating world of Benjamin Franklin, a man of science, diplomacy, and revolution. From his groundbreaking inventions to his pivotal role in shaping the young nation, prepare to be intrigued, inspired, and enlightened. In this episode, we will explore the multifaceted genius of Benjamin Franklin and share the story of his captivating life and legacy. Did you know he was a polymath?
How would I know that? I don't even know what a polymath is.
A polymath? Like a jack of all trades, but like a master of none, basically? Like really more like someone who cares to learn a lot about like a lot of things. A polymath. And our word of the day is polymath. Because I don't want to deal with it today.
I love it. But definitely, it was a new word for me. So we're all good.
Woo!
So before we get it to Benny being a 70-year-old wrinkly womanizer.
Hey. He was an okay guy. He wasn't a terrible womanizer.
Not terrible, but still a little old. Go ahead and give me the brief on his early days.
On the young Ben. All right. So a little bit about young Ben. Good old Ben. Benny Ben. He was born on January 17, 1706 in Baston, Massachusetts. His early life was marked by a strong work ethic, curiosity, and an appetite for learning.
And he would have loved this podcast.
Oh, absolutely. This would have been his thing.
A little bit of knowledge and a little bit of everything.
I wish he was sitting here. Okay, how cool is it going to be at some point we're going to have AI where we could have Ben sitting in this room with us and like doing AI. We're AIing Ben in this podcast. It's going to be awesome. That's going to happen and we're going to do it. We're going to bring it to you live here, people. All right. Anyway. So first, early years. He was the 15th of 17 children born to Josiah Franklin, a soap and candle maker, and his second wife, Abaya. I think I said that right. Abaya Folger.
Like Folgers in your cup Folger? Freeze-dried crystals. You know, instant coffee.
I think that's the Folgers. Yeah, totally. I didn't even put that together. You're absolutely right. It was Abaya Folger, the Folger heir, the heiress of the Folger, you know, throne, whatever. All right. Anyway, he was totally poor as shit. And his formal education ended at the age of 10, when he had to start working with his dad. Yeah. 15 to 17 kids, 10 years old, no more education. Ben Franklin. Stay with me, people. He was mostly self-taught. Thus, polymath, using books and a printing press to learn stuff. He devoured literature. Yeah, you heard me say it. Devoured, people. Science, philosophy, politics. He was an autodidact. I mean, he was crazy.
Pete, just stop.
What?
We already did the word of the day.
What? What's wrong?
Because what the heck is an autodidact?
Somebody who's totally undirected and self-taught, Amanda.
Yes.
Yes, an autodidact. All right.
Congratulations, everyone. And we are now sort of sophisticated with two new words for
today. Okay, so now we're being too... Are you saying I'm being too sophisticated? Well, let's bring it back. We'll bring it back to sort of sophisticated. Okay, fine. All right. Then when he was 12, he became an apprentice to his older brother, James, where he learned the trade of printing, which became super important later. Ultimately, his success in the printing business provided him with the financial independence to pursue his intellectual interests and public service. Overall, Franklin's early life and influences shaped him into a statesman, scientist, and philosopher whose ideas and actions had a profound impact on the shaping of the United States and the course of world history.
All right. I know he was the father of electricity and had something to do with our nation around 1776, but really, what was his job? Who is Ben Franklin?
He was an IT geek. Totally. Just kidding. He was a polymath. I told you. He's a jack of all trades, man. An author, an inventor, a diplomat, a philosopher, a statesperson, a journalist, a musician. I'm not making any of this up. A librarian, an editor, a satirist, a publisher, a political activist, and of course, a printer.
So he actually really had 10 jobs. Because that's a whole lot of ground to cover. And we're just running through the highlights.
No, he absolutely had all of those jobs in his life. He was excellent at all of them.
All right. Well, then, I guess, what would you consider the most important, then, that we should talk about?
All right. Let's start with Founding Father.
Kind of a big one.
Yes.
Fair.
Probably the most important. Ben was one of the 7 or so recognized Founding Fathers of the United States, and also the oldest by far at age 7.
Wait. So I know the term Founding Father, but what constitutes a Founding Father? Is it just like having to be in the room where it happened, or...
Ooh, I like that Hamilton reference. In the room where it happened. I don't know. But I think it's sort of widely accepted that to be considered a founding father, you needed a few things. One is like, you need to be considered an American revolutionary that helped unite the 13 colonies. 2, you oversaw at least part of the War of Independence. And 3, you helped establish the United States of America by crafting the framework of government. And actually, I know you love fun facts, Ben is the only founding papa to sign all 4 of the most foundational documents of our country. The Declaration of Independence, the Treaty of Amity and Commerce with France, the Treaty of Paris between the U.S., England, and France, and the U.S. Constitution.
As if that's not enough to do and accomplish in a lifetime.
Right.
What else?
Right. Right. Like, right. And I'm just a podcast. And I'm just a podcast guy. I have one thing. I have one job. Okay. I was a dad. I was a podcast guy. I was a manager at some company. Really? Like, that's all I got. This guy's got 100 things. Right. Founding Father is a massive one.
Huge.
And there's even more. All right. So second, I'm bringing an inventor and scientist together here. But basically, those could be considered 2 separate jobs. So he conducted numerous experiments on electricity, but is famously known for his little kite experiment, which demonstrated the connection between lightning and electricity. Little known fact, he was not actually electric. He just got a little shock, which helped him to better understand the idea of conduction and how electricity worked. People thought he invented electricity. Electricity already existed. He just learned how to harness electricity, which subsequently led to the invention of the lightning rod that helped protect buildings from lightning strikes. So he was totally amazing when it came to inventor. And he wasn't always like this old fat fuck, as he's typically portrayed in old pictures. At one point, when he was younger, he was a total stud, an avid swimmer. He also invented swim fins when he was like 11 years old.
When he was 11? Really?
11 years old. Yeah, seriously. He figured he could increase his speed while paddling, holding wooden round plates with holes for his thumbs to go in, the precursor to swim fins. Absolutely.
His mind must have just been going all the time.
Yeah, I know. But like, he created more stuff. He invented more. Hold on. So the harmonica.
Not the harmonica?
Not the harmonica. No, I said it right. The harmonica. Not the same thing.
What the heck is an harmonica then?
I never thought you'd ask. An harmonica is, imagine a bunch of nested wine glasses turned sideways, like 100 of them in a row, from small wine to big wine glasses, all the way across this thing, 5 feet across, with a machine that turns it, rotates them slowly around, right? And it's the size of a piano. And basically, you wet your fingers and run them over the turning glass to create a sound.
Like when I lick my finger and run it across a wine glass?
Exact same thing. So imagine doing that. Like you do that right now, like for fun. Imagine turning that sideways and having 50 of them together. And you could pick different wine glasses to play.
That's insane.
And it literally is. If you look it up on YouTube, it's amazing. It sounds so cool. It sounds like a piano, number one. And it is so creepy to listen to and so awesome to listen to. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So we're not done. Then in the field of medicine, he goes on and invents the urinary catheter.
The thing you shove up your...
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, he invented it because his brother had kidney stones and he was trying to help him out. So actually, he didn't create the first urinary catheter, but he did upgrade it tremendously. So up until this time, they used a metal rigid tube.
No.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And he created the flexible hinged version to make it way easier to manage and way more comfortable. Thank you, Ben.
I legit have no words. Yep. A metal tube.
I don't even want to talk about this. I want to move on because I am getting very uncomfortable
too. All
right.
Bye-bye.
Finally, bifocals. He was tired of switching between glasses for reading and distance. So he sliced the lenses in half of two sets of glasses and glued them together. And voila, bifocals were born.
Was crazy glue also invented then, Pete? Because that's kind of genius.
So I didn't think of that. And maybe, yes, maybe we have to add he invented crazy glue. This is insane, right? This guy, he's like, oh, he's pissed off because he's switching between glasses. Oh, fuck it. I'm going to cut them in half. I'm going to glue them together. Was it just easier back then to invent shit?
Maybe. Or maybe he was just pretty incredible. I mean, what else is his claim to fame besides being a founding father and an inventor? I'm going to bet here that he printed his own face on the $100 bill because, like, in all seriousness, is Ben just super incredible?
No, he did not do the $100. That was not him. That was not his ego. So, actually, General Winfield Scott was the first face on the $100 bill. I'll have you know. Thank you very much.
Huh. And who's that?
General Winfield Scott? General in the Wars of 1812? And of the Union Army during the Civil War?
Oh, yeah. Duh. Totally knew that.
Nah. Famous general back in the... Okay.
Whatever. History's not my thing.
All right. Anyway, he did not put his own face on the $100 bill. Thank you. He did not. All right. Next, let's go to publisher and writing. All right. He was the founder of the first successful colonial newspaper, the Pennsylvania Gazette. I understand he didn't create the newspaper, but came up with the first successful newspaper. Right. That's massive by itself. He published Poor Richard's Almanac, an almanac that contained a yearly calendar, weather, seasonal predictions, poems, sayings, proverbs. Like, this guy was amazing. Like back in the day, you didn't have Google. You didn't have cell phones. You didn't get any information.
He was the Google of the time.
In the 13 colonies, yes. 10,000 of these gazettes and almanacs were published per year. And it was super popular reading because they had nothing back then in the 13 colonies. It contained the most famous witty observations that you would not attribute to Ben Franklin. Like, you wouldn't even know they're Ben Franklin. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Ben Franklin.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Eat to live, not live to eat. Ben Franklin.
Wow.
Yes. Micro. Right. Like, super simple stuff like that, but people were eating it up. He was also a skilled writer and contributed numerous essays and letters to various publications advocating for freedom of press and other democratic principles. So we'll start to get into the statesman thing in a little bit. He never got anything he wrote, like, published, like he did his own printing and publishing. So at the age of 16, he created a persona of a middle-aged widow named Silence Duguid. I'm not making this up. And once every 2 weeks, for a half a year, he would leave a letter under the door of his brother's printing shop. Have you seen National Treasure?
Yes.
With Nicolas Cage?
Yes.
Yeah, so they talk about this Silence Duguid thing. So his bro has no idea who was writing them. But he liked them so much, he started publishing them in the newspaper, the New England Courant, every other week. The letters poked fun at various aspects of colonial life in America, quickly winning over the readers with its amusing wit all throughout the 13 colonies. Eventually, his brother finds out the letters were written by Ben, and Ben leaves his apprenticeship without permission and runs away to Philadelphia. When he's 18 years old, he's like, oh, yeah, forget it. I'm out. I'm good. Like, I'm good enough. I'm famous enough now. Let's go.
I mean, it's right. Kind of like Lady Whistledown from Bridgerton.
It's totally Lady Whistledown from Bridgerton, right? That is amazing. Oh, my God. Exactly.
All right. So we're writing writer to his list of accolades.
Okay. So now political theorist. So Franklin was the leading political thinker of his time and contributed a bunch of democratic principles we still use today. He basically drafted the U.S. Constitution and advocated for colonial unity and independence. He brokered the Great Compromise, the start of a legislature of two houses, one elected in proportion to the population of a state, and the other where each state would have equal representation.
Are you talking about the House of Representatives and the Senate, Peter?
Yep. He did that. The Great Compromise. He did that. Absolutely.
Why didn't you just say that?
Well, because I wanted it to sound super cool, but yes.
I mean, you did.
I don't even know if that's what they were called back then. So, but for the record, yes, he's doing things we don't even think of.
We take it all for granted.
Absolutely, we take it for granted, yes. And this guy's like, oh, I'm making bifocals at night, but then during the day I'm drafting the U.S. Constitution. This guy was amazing. All right, so then finally, we got Diplomat. He served as the diplomat to France. This is what Franklin, the 8-part miniseries, is about. During the American Revolution, where he successfully negotiated treaties and secured crucial support for America, his work was absolutely instrumental in gaining French military and financial assistance, which helped turn the war in favor of the American colonies and ultimately led us to victory.
I mean, victory is good, but seriously, he was the man in so many things.
He was totally the man. And he had long bitchin' hair, too, right? He was 7 years old, still rocking the long-ass hair. Watch the miniseries. All right, so if you haven't had enough, he was also deeply involved in philanthropy. He helped establish a bunch of, like, our first public entities, like libraries. Those didn't exist till he came along. Fire departments, educational institutions. He played a key role in founding the University of Pennsylvania, the University of Pennsylvania, and the first public hospital in the United States. This is where history is amazing to me, because people be like, oh, I got into UPenn. Right? Like your kid. I got into UPenn, right? Ben Franklin founded UPenn. He founded it. So it's super cool. You bring historical significance of 250 years all of a sudden comes smashing together in 2 seconds when you talk about your kid getting into that college that he founded. It's amazing.
I feel like people need to recognize and realize the importance of UPenn first.
No, right? I don't think people really appreciate how history can come to light. At some point, I think I need to be a history teacher because it's so awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, it really is.
All right. So then are we good? Did we get to the end of the list of all the accomplishments you wanted to go over? Because really, I just want to talk about the Apple TV.
Yeah. We've done enough of his accomplishments. It's fine. And I did watch the first episode. Michael Douglas looks awesome. He's pulling it off totally. I like the first episode.
It was good. It's a little slow, a little boring, not as exciting, but obviously so amazing. Like, I didn't get that excited watching the miniseries as I did hearing you talk about all of his accomplishments.
I thought the first episode was good. I did.
It is. And if it gets the youngins to be interested in important historical figures and contributions, then I say, let's do it. Right?
Yes.
More of it. More
Absolutely.
Of it.
Let's. I would agree with that.
I mean, did you know, though, that the miniseries is an adaptation from Stacey Schiff's 2005 book, A Great Improvisation, Franklin, France, and the Birth of America?
I did not. I have not read that book.
Oh.
Have you read it?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of tells the story of 70-year-old Ben's unofficial 8-year-long series of negotiations with the Gaelic great and good. Beginning in 1776, as America keeps piling up the losses in the Revolutionary War, I mean, shit was going south real fast. And so over in Paris, Ben goes and he hopes that, well, France might help us because they hated England and maybe they'll give us some money and weapons and other stuff and we can beat England.
I love books. So I'll totally add that to my list because I would argue that's probably going to be better than the miniseries.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. I would agree.
All right. I'll add it.
So either way, I mean, sure, there's historical inaccuracies and random details that they totally played up. But again, it's another history told as a drama. And it's not a bad watch.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the whole ADD culture thing, like, how else are you going to get people to really think about, well, our podcast will help people understand Ben Franklin. But if there's any other way, it'd probably be watch the miniseries, right? Because where are they going to get their info otherwise? No one's going to read a damn book anymore.
That's true. I would,
but I'm an old dude. Yeah.
Fair.
I'll keep watching.
Or
I'll finish it.
We'll finish this podcast and maybe we'll finish with some fun facts. And then it'll just cover all the bases and you don't have to watch an 8-part miniseries.
Shit, are we already going to fun facts?
I think we're there.
All right, let's do fun fact. All right, fun fact. Well, this is good because we got a lot of fun facts with Ben, right? I mean, this is gonna be a long list of fun facts, people. All right, fun fact one. Ben was a little cheater during the war. Well, I guess not like a cheater because all is fair in love and war, right?
What are you talking about?
So check this out. So Ben's cousin, Tom Folger, Folger's crystals. Folger's deep-fried crystals. Remember Folger?
Yes.
Yes. Abiah Folger was his mom. Okay, so Tom's cousin. He captained a merchant ship. Merchant ship is like somebody bringing goods back and forth, right? That sailed between England and the 13 colonies back in the day. And Tom had learned about the effects of the Gulf Stream that other British sailors didn't know about yet. So, and the Gulf Stream was like that warm water that like made you go a lot faster. Yeah. So during the Revolution, Ben told the French ally ships about it so they could get to America faster than the British ships that didn't know about it, so France could bring over ammo and support quicker. So, I mean, technically there was no cheating. He was just smart as shit, told them what to do, and we were getting ammo faster than the British could bring it to America.
And we were probably also getting coffee faster.
Is it with you and this damn coffee? I think the Folgers thing is more interesting to you than the Ben Franklin thing.
And they all just, during that time, everyone knew everyone. It's
everything
amazing.
Goes, right, everything goes.
It's crazy.
It is. Well, it was a lot less people. I mean, now we're like 8 billion people. Back then, there was like, what, a billion? Not even. Maybe like a couple hundred million? Who knows? Huh. It was probably a lot harder to find like your soulmate back then than it is today.
Fair.
All right, fun fact too. Ben had his own state for a minute. All right. What we know today as Tennessee was once the state of Franklin. In 1784, residents of a region in Tennessee seceded, forming their own state of Franklin. But as usual, political divides and fighting led to the collapse of the state of Franklin in 1789, 1 year before Ben himself died.
I hear that Franklin, Tennessee is the place to be right now, though.
Is it?
I mean, it's exploding in growth. Like, Franklin would have been so proud.
Totally.
Also. I also wonder just how many Frankliners know this fun fact.
I got to assume a lot of them. I wonder if they
do.
Right. Well, because it was a state and then it became, well, then they called it the city. Right. But I would assume that's interesting. Yeah. We should. How do we find out? Let's call some Frankliners. That would be so cool. I would think they would know that. That's probably their claim to fame. Right. All right. Fun fact three. Ben is the man on the moon.
What?
But listen, he is the man on the moon. Ben has a crater on the moon named after him. The Franklin Crater, as it's come to be known, is 35 miles across. And if you have a telescope, look up towards the indentation at the northeast visible part of the moon, and there you'll find it. He's in some rarefied air up there with Da Vinci, Copernicus, and even Michael Jackson having their own craters also.
I mean, that's super cool, but how do you get a crater named after you?
Well, if you're Michael Jackson, you just need to be a pedophile or something, I'm assuming. I don't know if Copernicus or... Da Vinci were pedophiles.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. You have to be famous? I don't know. Let's just say you have to be famous. I don't know who decides this stuff, but anyway, it's the Franklin Crater. You totally can see it, and it's awesome. All right. Fun fact four. He started his own alphabet. Seriously. So he wanted to fix the English language so it'd be more logical, of course, right? So he took out six letters. C, J, W, Q, X, and Y. Why do you ask? Because those letters suck and we never use them. He thought they were too confusing and added six new letters representing common sounds like ng and sh and like ng, sh, th. He hoped the system would improve spelling and even had special printing blocks made for it, but it never really caught on.
I'm going to tell you right now, he was legit the OG phonogram guy.
He was totally. Absolutely.
I'm a believer. And it's basically the curriculum I'm using for my kids to learn how to read, and it's brilliant.
Okay, but so... I get your point. He was totally onto something and it didn't catch on. Yes. I got it. He was a genius. All right. Fun fact five, from slave owner to abolitionist. And for those of you people that don't know what an abolitionist means, it means someone who doesn't like slaves. So in other words, from slave owner to non-slave owner. Like many of his friends back in the day, Ben owned some slaves. But when he got old, he changed his mind and hated slavery, emancipating everyone in his house. Then in 1787, he became president of the country's first abolitionist group. Did you hear what I just said? He changes his mind and becomes president of the first abolitionist group, like literally creating this concept. He raised money to help free slaves. And in just a few months before his death in 1790, he petitioned all the way back then in 1790, the first U.S. Congress to ban slavery in this newly formed nation. Something that wouldn't happen for another 75 years.
75 whole years
right.
later.
He was totally ahead of his time.
I mean, thank goodness for good old Honest Abe, because
thank God Abraham Lincoln did something. But 75 years later, this guy goes from, hey, we're founding this new nation. Hey, we have slaves. Hey, I know I own slaves. Hey, I don't think slaves are a good idea. This is really fucked up. Hey, like self-awareness. Like, then, their podcast, self-awareness. The whole idea of self-awareness. Like, Ben Franklin, at 70 years old, figures this out. Talk about the epitome of learning about yourself, even as you keep growing older. Like, that is amazing that he founded this first group and then petitions the first U.S. Congress. Unbelievable. Okay. Fun fact 6. This one's probably my fave. Did Benjamin Franklin kill Beethoven?
What?
Did you hear me right?
I did. I heard you. And I'm a little, what?
Good old Ludwig. Listen up. Okay, so we know Ben invented this glass harmonica. Now we know what that is, the musical instrument that contained a fair amount of lead glass and lead-based paint that the player would be exposed to. Remember, since the whole idea was that you touch the glass with your fingers after you spit on them or keep them moist, which makes it easier to play. Ben introduced the poisonous instrument to good old Ludwig van Beethoven, who, of course, composed songs for it. Fast forward 230 years. To around 1990, yes, 1990, like our lifetime, 1990, when some scientists studying Beethoven's hair discovered, are you ready for this? Lead. Lots of lead. I mean, 100 times the normal amount of lead that people should have in their system.
So what you're saying is Franklin secretly, non-intentionally, maybe offed Beethoven.
I think so. Why would they have found 100 times the amount of lead in Beethoven's hair?
I mean, he did touch that directly lots of times.
I don't think he knew that. I don't think Ben did it on purpose. But one could very easily argue Ben Franklin killed Beethoven.
I would agree. And I mean, from there, where do we go from there? Are there any fun facts left? Because I think that one takes the cake.
Oh, they mow fun facts. 3 more. I'll go quick. Okay. I don't know if this one's quite a fun fact or not, but did you know they did a 2016 study by memory researchers at Washington University at St. Louis showed that 25% of Americans falsely believe Ben Franklin was actually president of the United States. Spoiler alert, he wasn't. Shocked? Don't be. 71% of those same people surveyed thought Alexander Hamilton was the president at one time, which we also know is not true.
I mean, who are these people? Have they not seen Hamilton?
You would think at this point, everyone would have watched Hamilton. So at the very least, people would know Hamilton wasn't president and died when dumb shit Aaron Burr decided to kill him. But the whole Ben Franklin, I think it's hysterical that people don't know that he wasn't.
I mean, but he's on our money, so.
Also, he may have inadvertently started daylight saving time.
The thing that we still deal with that is my biggest pet peeve
yes,
every
that,
season.
Biggest pet, I love daylight saving. What are you talking about?
This fall, back into fall and spring ahead and spring. Like,
I hate spring ahead and spring because you lose the hour. I understand that. But fall back and fall is the best night of your life.
Fair.
It's better than Christmas for me personally.
Sure, but then we have to catch it up sometime. And
I know, but then when you spring ahead, then you get like, it's all like in the morning, it's all sunny. And it's like,
do you forget what it's like to have kids?
Do you not run in the morning?
No.
It's wonderful.
No.
When you, maybe try that and then you'll appreciate daylight savings time.
Coyotes.
Anyway, so check this out. When living in France, this is a true story. He was woken up by a loud noise at 6 a.m. Apparently that people were too drunk to wake up at 6 a.m. I don't know. And noticed the sun was already up and shining. Yeah, no shit. So he published an article where he suggested Parisians change their sleep schedules to save money on candles and lamp oil and use the economy of sunshine instead. Fast forward, here we are today, screwing up our biological clocks twice a year.
I mean, as much as I don't like it, it's kind of wild to think that that was actually Ben Franklin who implemented that.
Yeah, so I think it's right. It's like, hey, save money on, because I mean, it was expensive back then, right? Save money on this shit. Okay. Finally, the last one. In 1787, he minted the first ever coin we used in America. Yes, there weren't coins. Ben Franklin decided, hey, coins are a good idea. Let's mint a coin. And then mints the coin. The copper coin showed a sun shining down on a sundial and bore the motto, mind your business. Mind your business, people. But it was only in circulation for 1 year. Today, you'd spend at least $1,000 if you want to own one.
I mean, Ben just seemed like he had his hands in everything.
He did.
Why does it seem like people back then were so much more resourceful than us today? I mean, who does any of this stuff anymore? I'm just going to make a coin.
Really, really smart people.
I guess so.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. He was awesome. All right. So I guess let's wrap it up. If we were to sum up Ben's life, I don't think there could be a better way to do it than to share his epitaph, which in perfect Ben fashion, he wrote himself 60 years before he died.
How old was he when he died?
I don't really. 80? I don't know. 80. So let's say he was 20, 21 years old. Yeah. He
that's, wrote this. That's some deep thoughts then.
Did you write your up? Did you write?
Oh,
did
I don't you write have mine. Nope.
Right. So it appears on a plaque outside of Christ Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania today. And it reads, "The body of B. Franklin, printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and gilding lies here, food for worms. But the work shall not be wholly lost, for it will, as he believed, appear once more in a new and more perfect edition, corrected and amended by the author."
And by author, a.k.a. God, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So cool.
So food for worms didn't matter his legacy at all, and that he will be sort of appear again as a more perfect, corrected edition, amended by God.
Crazy.
He writes this when he's 20 years old, and he keeps it. Yes. Unbelievable.
Light years ahead of everyone else, for sure.
100%.
All right, Pete. So, here's the part of the episode where you got to give us the real and lay it on me.
I already gave you, a million fun facts.
Yeah, but, the quick stuff for what I need to know.
All right, fine. Here we go. If you don't remember anything, at least do this much. First, watch Franklin, the 8-part miniseries on Apple TV. Second, at your next event or hangout, be sure to ask someone what they're binging. Third, listen and care about what they say for a minute, and maybe ask a few legit questions. Fourth, wait for a pause in the convo. Timing is everything, people. Timing, remember. And tell them, you just finished this really cool series on Apple TV called Franklin, starring Michael Douglas as Ben Franklin, an 8-part miniseries where Franklin embarks on a secret mission to France with American independence hanging in the balance. And finally, share these interesting and relevant details to seem, sort of sophisticated. Ben lived almost the entire 18th century, which was unheard of back then, from 1706 to 1790. What, 84 years? Despite only having 2 years of formal education, he was an author, an inventor, a diplomat, a philosopher, a statesman, a journalist, a musician, a librarian, an editor, a publisher, a political activist, and of course, a printer. 3, he was one of the few founding fathers of the United States of America. 4, he didn't discover electricity. His kite experiment led to the invention of the lightning rod to harness electricity. 5, he basically ensured we won the American Revolution thanks to his ability to persuade the French to help us. And finally, remember he was the king of quips. Remember these important quotes. "Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise." And maybe the most famous of them all, "Nothing in this life is certain except death and taxes."
And there you have it, dear listeners. Thank you for joining us on this journey back in time into the sensational world of Benjamin Franklin. I hope you take a moment to reflect on the incredible legacy left by one of America's most multifaceted founding fathers. From his groundbreaking scientific inquiries to his diplomatic prowess and enduring contributions to literature and politics, Franklin's impact will forever reverberate through the corridors of history. We like to think we've shared just enough information to make you more sophisticated and either a flaming nuisance or a bit more interesting to your fellow humans. Well, sort of. If you enjoyed this episode and found it particularly interesting, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share with your peeps. Until next time, stay curious, stay inspired.